Okay, so it's okay. We did the sugya of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin over Shavuos. So when we go over it now, we'll go a little slower. And there were a couple important points which I think I couldn't put in. Actually, not that important, but they're secondary. But they're still part of the overall sugya that just because of time we couldn't get to. So we start off with the Rambam. Okay. So the Rambam in Yesodei Torah, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but in Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, he brings down the mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, right? And as we know, the mitzvah Kiddush Hashem is built in a way where, in other words, every time if a non-Jew sticks a gun to David's head and says, eat treif, so what does he do? He eats a treif. But there are situations, the three, right? Shvichos Damim, Gila Raios, and Avodah Zarah, where David has to take the bullet. And the Rambam basically explains that's the idea of Kiddush Hashem, right? And Chil Hashem would mean not taking the bullet, would be, let's say, worshiping the idol. But then he mentions in Halacha Yud, he says, anytime you're over an Isser, a prohibition, okay, willingly, then by definition, you're profaning the name of God, you're Mechal Hashem, okay? And then Halacha Yud, that's the part I'll read. He says, there are other things, V'yeshvarim acherim shem Mechal Chil Hashem. There are other things that fit in the category of Chil Hashem. So he sets up the person. Who's the paradigm? The paradigm is a great man in Torah who's known for his good deeds, and that the people praise him. They follow him. They like him. He's great. The Alpha Pi Shein Averos, even though these are not technical legal issues, it's a Chil Hashem. Okay, so what are the cases? So he says, for instance, you do business, you don't pay the guy, the vendor, immediately. Or your yarba and schok, too much laughter. Or what it called? Or too much eating and drinking among the amaratzim. Or, right, that when you speak to the other people, right? When you speak to other people, you're not speaking benachas, right? You have to be able to speak with nachas. You don't speak, speaking in anger with everyone is a problem. And I noted that the Rambam changes from Amaretz, that you don't eat or drink with Amaretz, to Brios, to just regular people. Okay, so that's all Chil Hashem. And he says again, he says, V'chenim dikdik ha-chacham ma'atzmo. The chacham looks into himself, is very careful. V'haya diburo benachas im ha-Brios. Right? I'm sorry. It's all subjective, right? That's statement one, all subjective. Tzarech she'idaktik al-atzmo, he must check himself. And then, v'yasil ifnim ishrosadin. Okay, so the Rambam never tells us what it is specifically, but you can assume these things he's talking about above would fit in that category. And then he flips it. He says that if he is medakdek and he speaks to people nicely, all that stuff. And then finally, v'lo yira tamid ela osik b'torah ato b'tzitzis mukhtar b'tfilin. He should always appear in such a way, always learning and wrapped in his talis and wearing his tefillin. And v'osik b'chol ma'asav the mishra sodin. And all his actions are always dictated by f'nim mishra sodin. Okay? And then what's going to happen? Everyone will praise him, and they'll love him, and they'll desire to do like him. And that's Kiddush Hashem. Okay? Good. So, again, it's interesting. Interesting requires a deeper explanation. I think we noted two things. Number one, that in the question phase. Number one, the Rambam's focus solely on the Chacham presenting himself to other people. We have to also understand why it's limited to a Chacham. And the second thing is that why is this in the category of Kiddush and Chil Hashem? Okay? And also, notice that all these things are really ben adol mechavera. They're all ben adol mechavera. Okay, it's all interpersonal relations. Okay, whereas the stuff before of Kiddush Hashem isn't exclusive to ben adol mechavera. You can even argue it's not even ben adol mechavera, but whatever. It's certainly not exclusive to that. So it seems Lifnei Mishuras Hadin is focused on ben adol mechavera. That's the Rami Yesodei Torah. But in Deos, he has a completely different, it seems like, a completely different presentation of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. He talks about the Deos Harbe, right? And Perek Aleph, Halacha, Aleph, and Ilchos Deos. There's many different traits that people have. There are people who are angry often and arrogant, and da-da-da. And he says that there's extremes. And he says, V'yesh bein kol dea v'dea rechoka mena b'katza acher deos beinonios, zuruchuka mizu, right? So you always look, there's that middle, the middle area, right? The middle area. And He says, right? So he should always avoid the extremes. And then he says in Halacha Dalet, Haderecha Yisharahi Mida Beinonis. So what's the straight path? The middle Mida, the Mida of the middle. So you're looking for that middle part of the traits, right? That's the key thing I like. Richuk shave. It's equal, right? Some sort of like quantity, right? Lefikach, that's why the Chacham Rishonim said that a person always to be careful and always aim for the derech emtsayis, always aim for that middle road. Okay, and he says in the end, he says, v'derech zuhi derech ha-chachamim, right? This is a derech ha-chachamim. And anyone who's in that Beinonis area is Nikra Chacham. But then he says in Lachah, same language again, v'yesh shehu midatek al atzma v'yoser, someone who's really in touch with himself, checks himself. V'yisrachak midas, midea Beinonis mi'at letzadzeh, zeh Nikra Chassin. So a Chassin is someone who pivots ever so slightly, either way. Okay? Ketzad. So he says, rather than go from one extreme to the other extreme, he's somewhere in that, not in the 50% area, but a little either way. And then he says, Zuminus Chasidus, the imisrachik out of emsa bilvad. If he only goes to the middle, okay, via anav, and he's just humble, okay, nikr chacham, the zuminus chachma. So if minus chasidus is shifting away from the middle, okay, minus chacham is right towards the middle. And then he says in the end, v'zeu lifnim mishuras adin. Right? So the what do you call it? The chassid, right, is what do you call it? This idea of the chassidim arishonim, right, who were always shifting a little bit, that's lifnim mishuras adin, implying that the chacham, in this case, is not doing lifnim mishuras adin. So if we took the interpretation of chacham literally, right, then we would say, why is the chacham here not doing lifnim mishuras adin? But over there in Yisodei Torah, doing lifnim mishuras adin. And we also know that in the lifnim mishuras adin in Deos is completely different than the one in Yisodei Torah. Okay? So far, so good? Okay. All right, so let's start with that Gemara again in Bava Kamma, and then we'll come back to the Drushas, and then the Ramban. Okay? I think this Gemara Bava Kamma is a good start. I think. Okay, so it's Bava Kamma, Tzadi Tesam Abiz, right? So what does the Gemara there say? All right, so we had our case of the Mara Ladinar. Mara Dinar? Where is that? Got it, okay. So what's the case? So again, I put it in terms of evaluating baseball cards. It doesn't have to be that way. But the point is, we'll use the Gemara's language. Hamara Dinar L'Shulchani, right? So Gano shows a coin to a money changer. Chayim's a money changer. So Mara Dinar L'Shulchani, right? He shows a dinar. So Gano shows his dinar to a money changer. So the Gemara said, now remember, there's two kinds of money changers, right? There is the amateur money changer or the non-Uman and the Uman, right? So the Gemara says, V'nim Sara. And it turns out it's not, it's worth a lower value. Or his evaluation was incorrect. Tani Chad Uman Patra Hedjot Chayev, V'tani Idach Benu Amin Hedjot Chayev. So there's an inconsistent brisas. One brisa says that the both are on the hook, both are chayev, meaning that chayim will use, Sean will be the uman, chayim will be the amateur. In both cases, they'd have to return the money. But according to the other way of learning is saying no, that for some reason, Sean being the uman is pater, right? So the Gemara is astonished, right? Amar Papa, Kitanya uman pater, right? What's the case of uman pater? Kigon danko v'isar, right? Delo tzricha l'migmar klal, right? Ela b'may ta'u. Okay, so it can't be that Sean would never make a mistake. It's impossible that Sean would ever get wrong the value of the card. How is that possible? It's possible. You're Danko Nisar. You're an expert. You're not going to get it wrong. So it must be you made a mistake. So then what did he make a mistake in? So Besichta Chadasa, right? So Gada brought a brand new coin that has not been in the market yet to Sean to evaluate. Okay? Dahi Shaisa Denafak Mituti Sichta Mizuti Sichta. So there's no way, what do you call it? There's no way to know what the value is. Okay, you don't know. So even though Sean gets it wrong, right? He gets it wrong. He'd be putter. Okay, okay. That's number one. Number one, we have an Havina Maskana here, right? The Gemara is saying that. Well, I'll put it this way: the Gemara is saying that what should have happened. When I asked you guys in the beginning, there should be one rule of thumb in transactions. Either you're going to say buyer beware. Or you're going to say, it's the responsibility of the person taking the money, right? Both are equal logical possibilities. You could construct an economy where it's always buyer beware, right? But then again, I think over time they would take advantage of the consumer, but whatever. But Halakha clearly sides towards that the responsibility is for the person taking the money. The moment Chaim or Sean take the money, they are now responsible. They're providing a service. And if you botch the service, it makes sense why they'd be chayav to return the money. That's sensible. That's a very, to me, in my opinion, it's a very sensible thing to say. So why, but for some strange reason, the Gemara is saying the Uman's pater. The Uman, in which case? The case of the new coin, where he could not have known. So everyone agrees that if Chaim gets it wrong, he's a poshea, he's negligent, and must return the money. If Sean gets the coin wrong, which again, he should have known better, he's also poshea, and he must return the money, right? But by a new card or a new coin, Chaim is still a poshea. Keep that in mind. If Chaim gets it wrong, you're still negligent. You have to pay him back, but not Sean. Sean's off the hook. That's number one, okay? And then, of course, the Gemara comes along and says, so we know the story, right? So Gano now brings his coin to Shua. Shua's Rav Chiya in this case, big Talmud Chacham, and a money changer expert like Danko and Isar, okay? And what happens? It's a new coin. Gano wants to know the value of it. Shua takes his best guess and turns out he gets it wrong. And what happens? She comes back and says, Gano comes back and says it got wrong. So Armalei the Rav, Zil Chalfe Nihola V'Kasuv Apinkasi Din Esek Bish. Essentially, Shua is instructed, or Shua is going to pay back Gano. But the Gemara says, one second, Umayishna Danko V'Yisor Deptiri Mishum Delot Shrichel Migmar. So Rav Chiya Nami Lav the Migmar Kaboy Rav Chiya Lefnim Mishor Zedinu David. So what's the answer? So really, why should Shua have to pay back? He doesn't have to pay anything back. He's Potter. No. He decided to act Lefnim Mishor Zedin. So in other words, we first explained the rationale for the Ptur for the Uman. Because really, in the idealized form of halacha, what should happen? It should be transactional. The moment Sean or Chaim takes money, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. The moment I take money to provide a service, right? So I'm responsible, right? But that's very sensible. In other words, in an idealized system, that's what would take place. But if you do that, right, then there's no such thing as an Uman or an amateur. There are no experts or amateurs, right? There's no idea of a Sean being an Uman and a Chaim being an amateur. It wouldn't exist because ultimately it just matters taking the money, right? So then, the buyer, of course, has to be smart. But at the end of the day, once you take the money, you are now responsible, okay? You're responsible. But there's a problem there. The problem is a practical problem. It's just a practical consideration. Umans, we need Umans. We need people who are experts in the field, right? And Sean, you're going to be very hesitant to offer your services if it turns out that when you made an error that you couldn't prevent, right? It's almost like an honest error, that you're going to be on the hook for the money. It will be very damaging to the market, right? Now, of course, as an amateur, right, here's the key. Once halacha says we're going to take that into account, now we create two gavras, umans and non-umans, two halachic people. So by an uman, right, that's you as a gavra uman, so now you can say you're putter because the rationale for you being putter is because it's going to crash the market, but now you're gavra uman. But it means as you, as being a non-uman, as a gavra, by definition, anytime you take the money, you are poshea. You're a poshea. You know what I mean? So that's the practical application of it. Just give me a second. So in the idealized form, right? That's what I wrote on the board when I was not with him. The idealized form is this, right? That would be transactional. The practical form, okay, you bring it back a bit. The practical form is Uman's Pater, create these gavras, okay? But Halacha didn't want to do that. So what Ruchi is doing is Ruchi is saying, well, there's an idealized, abstract, area of Halacha, right, where it is transactional in nature, and he's tapping into that. The Lefnim Mishor HaSadin there is saying, is going through this, is tapping into an actual present halachic reality that never has a chance to express itself in the practical world. That's the first step of the Mishor Sedin. So the first step you see here, to me, this is the first step in understanding the Mishor Sedin. What was Rav Chiya doing? Okay. And always remember, it's funny because the Gemara doesn't heap praise on Rav Chiya. Always keep that in mind. Rather, it's saying this is how he acted. Okay. But what do we see? We see that he's trying to tap into an idealized form of halacha. Okay. Okay. Now, what are they darshan out from? They darshan out from this pasuk, right? The pasuk says, it says in Shmos Parak Yudches Pasukhaf, Vizarta Esem Esachokim Asatoros Vodata Lam Esederach Yelchuva Vesem Aser Sheyasum. So what do we see in the pasuk? We see that it's split in half. The first half of the pasuk is warning the Jewish people about following. The way I'm learning is the laws. Okay, you must abide by the legal system. But the second part, what's it talking about? What's this derech? And what's the maaseh? So what does the Mechilta say? Derech is gmilos chasadim, yelchu is bikur cholim, ba is kfuras mesim, right? I'm going to put those in one category. And then, es maaseh, zeh din, and asher yasun zulz din mishur sadin. Right? I'm going to put that in the other category, right? Because there you have din, and then, or let's say executing judgment, right? And then in there, this thing of liftin mishur sadin. Those are two separate categories. So again, our question was, is there like a unifying idea here? What are these things talking about in contrast to the first half of the pasuk? And they have the second medrash which says v'as maaseh sheyasun zulfdim mishur sadim. The kaimelon, why was Yerushalayim destroyed? Because they went ahead and were done dinei Torah. The lo of the above dim mishur sadim. Right, they did not go ahead and engage in the dim mishur sadim. Okay. Now before we define that, let's just take a look at the Ramban quickly. The Ramban also it's a good hakdama. I think the Ramban. I think the Ramban and the Rambam aren't necessarily on the same page about this, but the Ramban's a good thing. So the Ramban says in the pasuk that says Vasisa Yashar Tov Bnei Hashem. So if you look where he says, if you skip a few lines, where he says Vizeh Inyan Gadol, right? This is a very important idea. He's talking about Lefim Shorzadin. Lefishi E Efshar Lahaskir B'Torah Kol Hanhagos HaAdam Im Shchena Vareyav. Again, notice what he's saying. The Torah never could have listed every single behavior, okay, between people. First of all, note, he's talking about Ben Adam L'Chavero. So he's clearly saying that Sisa Yashar V'Tov B'nei Hashem is referring to Lefnim Mishur Zdin, was referring to Ben Adam L'Chavero. That's clear. And he's saying, how could the Torah could never have listed every possible detail. So what does it do? It lists some guidelines, right? Lo Selech Rachil, Lo Sikum, Lo Sitor, gives you these big categories, right? But then comes back Chazar Lomar b'derech klal sheyaseh tov yashar b'kol davar, right? Ad sheyikanes b'zeh apshara v'lifnei mishur hadin. Okay, so the Ramban's saying that it will be impossible for the Torah to legislate every single act of goodwill between human beings. It's an impossibility, right? But now there's two ways you can learn it's an impossibility. You could say that does it mean it's impossible that the list would be too long? Well, I don't think that's impossible. Torah would just be a lot longer. God could, if he wanted to, so to speak, list every single possible scenario. It would be very long-leaning, right? The other possibility is to say, no, what he means is that it doesn't lend itself to something systematic. Okay? Ben Adam L'Chavero can have guidelines, but ultimately, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chavero, it doesn't really lend itself normally to a clear, systematic way of running things. In fact, what? Yeah, you have to know yourself. In fact, that's why the Kuzari says that, like, the Torah, the halachic system of Torah, or certainly Ben Adam L'Makom, was built off of Ben Adam L'Chavero. Meaning, I'm paraphrasing a bit. Meaning, a rational society has to be in place first. People understand, don't steal, right? You want to start getting into the nitty gritty of what that means? Okay, we can argue about that. But don't steal, because what happens when people steal? It's bad. Yeah, chaos. It's very bad. I'm going to say this carefully. I don't need the Torah to tell me not to steal from someone else. I know that. I do need the Torah to tell me, this is how you worship God. I wouldn't know how to worship God. Okay? Okay. So what we wanted to say was that, let's take the institution of Chesed. I think it's a great starting point. So if you look at Chesed, there's no formal chiv of Chesed. There's no mitzvah Chesed, which sometimes comes as a shock to people, but there isn't. Now there's no formal mitzvah, there's no system. There's no rule book. There's no sefer. I mean, maybe today. But you don't see the Gemara. You don't see the Rambam list like a, what do you call it? The Rif. Here is a, 30 laws of Chesed, right? Okay, and now, yes, we could argue tztaka. That's fine. But I'm saying in general, there's no idea of when am I chayiv in it? When am I yotze it? Who am I chayiv to do it to? You know, what's the maisa? All those things that normally happen in the legal system don't happen here. Hold on. Chesed exists outside the legal boundaries. It's a meta halachic idea. It doesn't exist in the halacha. It exists outside the halacha. Why? Why? Because I think what it's emphasizing is like this. Every mitzvah has in it the maisa mitzvah, right? Which is the tactical halachic performance and the philosophical objective. Every mitzvah has it in there. I'm not going to get into whether it's appropriate to study tamei mitzvos. That's a separate issue. But that's a fact. I don't think even people who say not to study tamei mitzvos agree that every mitzvah has in it some philosophical objective. But I think the reason why is it's emphasizing that chesed, but I think everyone agrees, it's not a chiddush, chesed naturally brings you to a better philosophical state. Whether it's your appreciation of what you have or loving your fellow man, whatever it could be. Point is that the very engaging in chesed, his askus in chesed, brings a philosophical objective with it, okay? But it's outside the legal system. Almost as if God is telling us, remember, there's a whole area of perfection that exists, is not bound by laws. That's not intertwined with law, okay? That's, I think, chesed. Lifnim Mishur Sadin is the way that God set up in the system of law, a mechanism of having philosophical objective beyond, as people put, the letter of the law. In other words, where you can have a system where the legal system stops, but a person is able to go beyond the legal system, okay? But he has to go from within the legal system. So our first case is an example of that. The legal system, right, is transactions. There's a pitur for the uman. Rav Chiya is going from within that system of uman and now pushing further. He's elastic. He's pushing away, so to speak, from the legal to act of demishur sedin. He's tapping into something that exists in the abstract halachic, ideal halachic system. Okay, that's the I think the pshat in the medrash. It's one more point, and then this idea of Yushalayim being destroyed, I think, really echoes on a broader scale echoes the problem, which is that what's the problem? Problem is that when people the Jews back then, but you could argue, what were they doing wrong? The judges were executing law. They were, Chayim comes to court, you're Chayev, you're Pater. Well, that's great, right? Isn't that what Judaism is all about? No, because it seems like the lack of Lifnei Mishur HaSadin would mean not just not having sympathy for others. I think it means a lack of awareness of what the objective of Torah is. And the objective of Torah is not simply to follow the rules. It's to perfect yourself. It's to become a better person. But yes, Ben Adam Chavero, which Judy's bringing up at some point. When it comes to Ben Adam Makam, when someone tries to do Lifnei Mishur HaSadin, what are they really doing in many ways? Baal Tosef, right? Baal Tosef. There's no room when it comes to worship of God for deviation. You can't deviate. God prescribes extremely specific methods of how to worship Him. And that kind of makes sense, because if you deviate, you go down the Nadav and Avihu road. You will end up putting in what you think, so to speak, God would, in quotes, want. And that's an error. That's an error in human thinking. So Ben Adam Malkum doesn't seem to lend itself, okay, to that idea. Boy, in other words, I want to emphasize that. Really, the system, to embrace the humanity of Judaism, the system should have been set up in a way that reflects what human beings are. And what are we? We're inquisitive. We're creative. We like thinking. We like pushing, right? So, right. So Ben Adam Malkum should have that also. But the problem is that there's a threat in Ben Adam Malkum. Right? I'll use the example of Oz Yashar. It's my favorite example, right? Remember. So, Bnei Yisrael get through Yamsuf, right? What a time to give Shevach Nodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? And you can imagine at that time, whatever language they were speaking, they probably said, like, you know, we want to thank God, da da da. And yet, for some reason, Chazal slow everything down. Now, what happened? Moshe had to teach them Oz Yashar. Why? Why not let them just praise God? Because the problem is that when, and I apologize for being so binary, but when you're like emotionally overcome, right? You want to capture that, and you definitely want to give praise to God, but you got to think it through. You don't want to just be impulsive in thanking God, because deviation, if you say the wrong words, you could actually be harming yourself.
There's a kanai.
What?
There's a
kanai. The kanai is different. Yeah. Right, but the desire to worship God comes from a good place, right, in general, but it can lead you astray. But another Chaber won't lead you astray. It won't. I think that's the difference. In other words, you're right. The system should have been set up in a way, so to speak, where it doesn't matter. That Ben Adam Malkum also, a guy wants to pick up a what he called an apple branch with his arm, he should be able to. So that's like the first major, I think, insight into the Lifnei Mishur HaSadin. Okay, which leads us then to the Gemara on Chaf Dal Amud Beis in Bava Metzia. All right, another great one. Okay. So what does the Gemara say? A wonderful case. So we start off with, I didn't even have to start the case of the Nahar Biran. I don't know why I started off with that case. But anyway, but now that you know it, I don't have to repeat it in specifics. But basically, the idea is that there are times where, I mean, it makes sense. There are places where a person loses an object where it's a pretty safe bet, right, that they were miyayish, that they're not going to be able to find it again. So the classic case is if Sean's on a cruise and he drops his wallet in the Pacific, I don't think he's going to get it back, okay? But there are areas, but there are times, you see in the case of Nahar Biran, that there are times where it's not so clear. Like, for instance, this river. This river where, if it has obstacles in it, so the guy might not necessarily, the white flag. Okay, so the Gemara's case is, so you have, okay, so what's the first case? The first case is, Rav Yehuda hava shakav azal basi de marshmuel b'shuka de beidisa. So Rav Yehuda is following a marshmuel in the wheat shuk. So amrale matza kan arnaki mahu. If I find a wallet here, what's the halacha? So he says amrale harayilu shalo. Right, it's yours. Right, but one second, then he says, what if a Jew comes and asks for it? And if he gives a siman and asks for it back, he says, give it back to him. So what says tarti? Meaning that's impossible. It can't be Sean's, and then Sean should still have to give it back. Okay? Because remember, in a Shavas Aveda, if I pick up an object, I'm not the owner. Right? I'm a guardian. I'm responsible for keeping an eye on the object, but I'm not the owner. So what do you mean? What do you mean that on the one hand, Sean, it belongs to Sean, and the other hand, he has to give it back? So the Gemara says, no, why does he give it back? He gives it back to Levdin Bishur Sadin. Meaning, if Sean finds the wallet and picks it up, it is his. He is in no way, shape, or form Chayev in a Shavas Aveda. It's his object. He owns it. It's his. But if Gano comes asking for the object back, give it back to him. Okay? Now, you know, that's the kind of thing Yudi would say. That sounds like a nice thing to do. Right? Sounds like a nice thing to do. Right? And the Gemara goes further, and it gives this case of who was it? Avuah d'Shmuel, right? That he saw these donkeys after 12 months were wandering and there. And what does he do? He brings it back to the owner. Right, almost to the point of saying there's no reason for him to do it. He was beyond putter from engaging in Shavas Aveda. These things were without question lost. It'd be like, equivalent today, the Gemara's case here is, I'm on a cruise, and I see a wallet float, oh, not a wallet, let's say I see a sword, right, in a glass, in a plastic case, floating on the ocean, right? And I see it says, Sean Slamowitz on it. Right now, I know there's no way Sean ever expected to get that back. By the way, it's like the movie Castaway. For those who saw it, you ever see Castaway?
So
what? That is finding Sean's sword in the Pacific. Meaning, there's no question those people, right? After 5 years, they gave up ever seeing that package, right? But what would I do? But the magnanimous thing to do is to bring the sword back to Sean, even though it's mine. I find that sword, I pick it up. It's my sword. But then the Gemara comes back and says, not so fast, right? It has this case of what he called, of Rav Nachman, who's in Shuk de Gedai or Shuk de Rabbanan, doesn't matter. He's in his other Shuk. And the same question comes up. He finds the wallet. It belongs to him. But then he's told, if Sean comes to ask about his wallet, it still belongs to, excuse me, if Chaim asks about his wallet, it still belongs to Sean. Meaning he doesn't say that Sean should give it back. And the Gemara says, well, what if Chaim's screaming? What if Chaim says, but it's my wallet. You see my Simmons on there. It's mine. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's crying over spilt milk. You're lost. Okay? So you have on the surface what appears to be an inconsistency in Lifnim Mishra Sadin. In case one, Sean is urged Lifnim Mishra Sadin to give the wallet back. In case two, he's told not to. And I understand the difference is the case of which kind of shook it is. I get that. But I don't think that's the point of the Gemara, though. Okay? So what I wanted to say is that what the Gemara is trying to show you is, it's trying to show you, let's take the first case, right? Here's a case where it's putter. Now, what's the philosophical objective of a Shavas Aveda? What's the objective? Yeah, what? Reyes, right. Social goodwill, right? Think about it. If I lost something, right? We don't believe in finders keepers. I mean, you can construct a society of finders keepers. Okay. Anyway, so what was the point of the Gemara here? So I think that what the Gemara is trying to tell you is that since the philosophical objective of Shavas Aveda is really, it's about social goodwill, right? I mean, if Sean finds out that if he lost something, that Gano will bring it back to him, he's going to feel really good about that. He's going to be thankful to Sean, to Gano. I mean, that's Reyes at its best, okay? Reyes at its best. So of course it makes sense why that Sean should sometimes, so to speak, go with the Mishra Shadin. Because he can recognize that even though the technicality is no Shavas Aveda, here's an opportunity to re-engage and really bring humanity together. And how magnanimous do you be to the case of the Pacific Ocean case, right? But here's the problem. If you learn that way, case three, I think, comes back to bring us back to Earth, okay? Because what can't happen is, and this is very important, Lifnim Mishra Shadin could pull you out of halacha, but it can't come back and rewrite what halacha is. Because if every single time that a case of Aveda came up, Sean returned it, then the words Hare Elu Shalo have no meaning. They have no meaning. They have to have a halachic meaning. It belongs to Sean. He can choose in a certain situation and give it back. And yes, Judy, not every situation should the person give the object back. Not every situation. No, there are times where it's best not to give it back. even if the person's upset about it, there are times where don't go beyond the letter of the law. That has to be the case. Because if you went back past the letter of the law every time, number one, that would become a formula. Number two, what would it be saying about the legal system itself? The legal system, by definition, it would be a mockery of it. It'd be saying, this is a legal system, but always go beyond it. Can't be. Then it's not a legal system anymore. Okay?